Now, more Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Yes, sir. We're coming to you live today. Welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hart.
And it is that time, ladies and gentlemen, when we take our thinking caps and put them on and we answer your questions. Now time for questions from our listeners.
And now it's time for the main event.
Well, I'm sorry we don't have as much time as we'd like to answer questions today. We're going to have a lot more time.
We're on the same schedule.
Of the number of calls we get.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to a lot more time.
That's right.
Well, a lot of time.
All right. Are you ready?
A lot of time.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Keep those goats out of here.
Yep.
All right. Carl from Freeport, Long Island. Oh, we have never gotten a call from Freeport, Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And we still haven't. It's a letter. Dear Jim and Randall, what is the best way to get a credit report, and how do I make corrections if I find there is an error on the report?
Well, if you want to get your own credit report right now, you can get a credit report on the internet.
Online, yes.
And they'll give you a credit report. Matter of fact, I got one for myself. It's a funny story.
Did you?
The credit report, and I charge $1, and I put it on a credit card, and that company, the credit card company, closed down my account because they thought somebody was trying to get something. And all, I gave the credit card, and they never let me know. So I couldn't get the credit card to work.
Cow.
And I called him, and he said that's what they did. Well,
so
I said,
never...
yeah, I release it. So I would be careful about doing it, but you can get it. There are three companies, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, which are the three credit companies.
Right.
And they will have all the information among the three of them. They'll have everything, every loan you ever made.
Right.
A lot of the information will be erroneous, wrong, but it won't be harmful. I mean, you know.
And old. A lot of it will be old.
A lot will be very old. So, there could be some very serious mistakes. And if you do get that, you contact them and you tell them to do it. And they will correct it. And if they don't correct it, you do have legal remedies.
Okay.
And, of course, they're complicated, and they're not complicated, but you have to you can sue them for
misrepresentation.
Defamation of credit, misrepresentation of life. But it won't come to that. They're very careful because people have sued them for ruining lives like that.
All right.
But I don't think you'll have to get to a lawyer. I think what you have to do is call them.
And they'll get it to you.
And tell them. But get the report first.
That's
right. Call them till you got it.
Okay,
till
Carl.
You know your credit stinks.
That's right. Okay, Carl.
Okay, Carl.
All right, Carl. Thanks for writing, Carl.
Don't take any checks from Carl, will you, please?
All right.
Okay.
Francis from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, I like Cleveland.
Dear Jim and Randall, can my 12-year-old son start his own lawn mowing and snow shoveling business? And can he establish a DBA in his own name?
Well, when you say DBA, a lot of people don't know. Doing business, a certificate of doing business
as, and
an assumed name.
Right.
But different states have different rules and different ways. My offhand answer to this is yes, he can start a business, but a lot of people won't hire him because if he gets hurt, they'll probably be liable under, workman's compensation rules, depending again on what state you're in. Now, I don't think you have to go to a lawyer for this. I think you could probably get this information from your Department of Labor or its equivalent.
You fill out a form and you can file a DBA.
Yeah, you can file a DBA, but can a 12-year-old file it?
I don't think a 12-year-old can.
There are some states that say a minor is not liable for anything. There are some states that say he is liable for those things to which he gets himself involved, like through a contract or something, to the extent of that. But
he's just mowing lawns.
Why don't you just listen to me?
I know he's
just mowing lawns. You can lose a foot mowing lawns.
Yes, you can.
So what I would suggest is that you find out from your industrial commission, the Department of Labor, or its equivalent, whatever they call it in Ohio, and they will tell you about the risks and the benefits of a youngster doing this kind of thing.
And she's in Cleveland, so she'll have to do it in Cleveland. And in Cleveland, they have a special place for 12-year-olds who want to do lawn mowing. And the guy walks with a limp. All right. Pat from Egypt, Wyoming.
Mind walks with a limp.
Have you ever been to Egypt, Wyoming?
No, but I've been to Egypt, New York, where you live.
That's right.
That's right
here, the township.
It's a hamlet.
It's a hamlet.
It's not a village. It's not a corporate area.
And everyone wears tights.
Yes. Okay.
And they wear, and they ride camels. That's not unusual.
Not at all. It's Egypt. What do you expect?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, this happens to be Egypt, Wyoming. And yes. Pat writes, Dear Jim and Randall, do you agree that illegal aliens should have no legal rights in this country?
Well, let me say this. That's not a legal question. It's really a political question or a philosophical question.
Well, I would say
my opinion is...
What is your opinion?
That they should have some rights. After all, they have a right not to be murdered. I mean, they have a right not to be taken advantage of.
Exactly.
To be robbed, to be stolen from, for anything like that. But should they vote? No. Should they get Medicaid? No. Should they be given welfare? No. Should they be educated? Well, that's a question, whether the kids should go to school or not. I really have not nosed in on that. I'd rather, in some cases, you say, well, why should we pay school taxes for criminals? Well, the kid's not a criminal, and not only that, maybe if they get educated, it'll help the situation. It's a very, very complex thing.
Yes, it is.
But as I say, there are some rights I would let them have, of course, but there are others, you're absolutely right, they should not have.
All right. There you go. That's a good question and a very good answer, James.
Excellent question.
Tim.
Particularly asked my opinion.
Yes. Especially nobody of any stature. Tim from Macon, Georgia writes, Dear Jim and Randall,
sobriety.
Can I be forced? Do you want to listen to this question? These people take time to write these questions to you.
Go ahead.
They respect you and they expect an answer.
Let's hear from the Macon guy.
Okay. Dear Jim and Randall, can I be forced to join a professional union like the Actors Guild or the Teachers Union? Only if Obama wins, everybody will have to join a union.
That's an interesting point, what you just said about Obama. But basically, yes, you do in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
Not in every case and not in every jurisdiction. So that it depends on the situation. You will have to join an Actors Equity Union if you expect, or you call it an Actors Guild, but it's Actors Equity. You're allowed to do a certain amount of acting before that, but at some point you're going to have to join. And certain teachers' unions, depending on the state or the jurisdiction, they will make you join that union. I think here in New York you have to, even if you're not sympathetic to it, but they do represent you. Now, the fact is that the newest thing is that the Democratic candidate for president, Barack Obama, wants that you join. You can get a union to represent you by simply signing a card. No more elections.
Right.
As soon as you get a majority of the working force signing cards, you have to recognize that union. I'm against that, and I'll tell you why. Because you get a 8-foot-tall, 300-pound bolvoni come to your house with a document to say, sign this if you want to join a union. And you know, he says, I represent the union. Will you join? If you don't sign, you probably in your own mind think that's the end of you. You'll be murdered or killed, beaten up.
Right.
But a secret ballot, you sign the cards. The secret ballot is the way to where you can go in and vote your conscience without fear or favor.
Right.
And it's a bad thing not to have a secret ballot in this situation. And I'm not pro-management or anti-union. But what's right is right on either side.
All right. There
and
you
what's
go.
Wrong is wrong.
On both sides.
That's right.
John from Gary, Indiana writes, Gary, Indiana. Dear Jim and Randall, I have contacted three lawyers regarding a lawsuit, and all three have given me a different fee to take the case. How do I know which fee is fair?
Well, let me say this. They all might be fair, depending on the experience of the lawyer, his education, his success. But let me say this, that... everybody can charge what he or she would like to charge. You don't have to go to any. If one is so much off, so much cheaper than the other two, I would be leery that he is cutting his prices just to get the business.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you should not make price the only determining factor as to regarding whom you choose to be a lawyer. I would think that you discuss this with these lawyers and... you know, it's your feeling of confidence in that particular individual. As I say, you have to make a decision whether you're comfortable with the person, whether you feel he has the necessary experience and ability. And then you can concern yourself with price, but don't make it the only determination. Now, if one guy is sky high, then put them out of the picture and just take the two reasonable people.
Be reasonable. And I always say we have a technique that we use anytime fee is is brought up when the lawyer says, what about the fee?
What about the fee?
They always say the first reaction you should have when you see the fee is, that's outrageous.
Yes, right.
Just throw yourself on the ground.
What about that?
All right, and see what they do. Okay. I think we have time for one more quick question, if you could do this relatively quickly. Are you ready?
Right.
Pam from Jacksonville, Florida writes, Dear Jim and Randall, under what conditions can a judge be removed from the bench?
Well, if he's...
You have to unnail him first.
Well, that's right.
All right?
And then it's really if he's corrupt, if he's drunk, if he's doing things, if his behavior is bad, if he takes bribes or anything like that, you can remove him. You cannot remove him for stupidity. if you did, we would have no judges on the bench.
Right.
So what you have to do is it has to be something that really is sort of in the field of moral turpitude.
Okay. Very well done. And tightly, smoothly
if
attained.
You keep talking, that's why we run out of time.
Are you ready?
You have all of these reveries and conjunctions. No, not conjunctions.
All right, think about it for a second.
Oh, I'll think of the word.
All right. Are you ready for the next segment?
I'm never ready. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to a man who tried to rob a local Bank of America branch in Ohio, of all places. The man wrote a note asking the teller to put her money into a bag. While standing in line, waiting to give his note to the teller, he began to worry that someone had seen him write the note and might call the police before he reached the teller's window. So, he left the Bank of America and crossed the street to the Wells Fargo Bank.
Our information has it that after waiting a few minutes in line, he handed his note to the Wells Fargo teller. The quick-thinking teller told the would-be robber that she could not accept his stick-up note because it was written on a Bank of America deposit slip, and that he would either have to fill out a Wells Fargo deposit slip or go back to the Bank of America. Looking somewhat defeated, the man said, okay, and left. He was arrested a few minutes later as he was waiting in line back at the Bank of America.
This man... He's like a patient, very patient guy. Most bank robbers are not that patient. Anyway,
I gotta tell you,
not that smart either.
He's a wizard.
Yes, he is.
He's the Ozzet of Wiz. This
That's
kid.
What he is.
He is one Ozzet of smart Wiz. Guy, the Ozzet of Wiz.
Speaking of Ozzet of Wizes and Wizard of Ozzes, let's
right.
introduce our crack crew. Of course, our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
And our meteorologist, Gail Force.
Our sports reporter, Crash Dugenhausen.
Our studio engineer, rollicking, Randy Meyer.
Our producer, Chris Confound-It-All-Witting.
Our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
And he occasionally gives us a heart attack. Our technology advisor, Miss Laverne Lazarino.
And our legal historian, Sir Edward Faversham III.
Is he a good fellow?
Oxford, you know.
Really?
Always wears the shoes.
Our hair and makeup specialist, Miss Georgia Peachfuzz.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. Seymour Gutt.
And our director of impressionism, Mademoiselle Camille Au Contraire.
And our Italian limo driver, Mario, just in a time.
Just in a time.
Just in a time.
Each week, ladies and gentlemen, he gets us to the studio.
Just in a time.
Well, folks, you survived another hour. I mean, you've actually wasted a perfectly good hour, but we appreciate it very much. Please tune in and listen to the show again next week, Monday, or anytime when it replays. Have a great time. Be kind to your neighbor. Get out there and vote. It's the important thing to do. And no matter what happens, no matter who wins, don't sweat the small stuff.
And remember, folks, it's all small stuff.
That's all, folks.